Did you watch Tall Girl?
I still haven't seen Tall Girl.
I saw the trailer for Tall Girl.
And it basically, like, I know nothing, it won't live up to the trailer. So I'm not going to see.
Do you think there's going to be a second one, like Too Tall, Too Girl?
Yeah. Girl, too. Look at her. Okay, welcome to On and Off again, everybody. Joining me, we have the, the terrible trio. The boys are back in town. Yeah.
Cal County's the original group right here. Y'all already know what's going down.
So we got Big Body Bennett.
I don't think it's so close.
Oh.
He was like, he was so worried. He's like, don't have to get so close.
Don't kill my mic. Okay. I'm backing up. Okay. So, we got.
And you just lean forward.
Just sit forward and talk normally. Listen.
Okay,
talk to the mic.
I'm ready.
Come back
okay.
We'll talk to us.
Okay. We got Big Body Bennett.
Woo.
And next to Big Body Bennett, we got our boy, the producer, Thomas.
Heartthrobs.
Heartthrob! I called him a heartthrob. Oh, yeah. He's got like this. He's
okay,
got
can we take a moment of silence for the Braves?
What happened to the Braves?
They were the first team in Major League history to give up 10 runs in a first inning of a postseason game.
I bet you Thomas was doing a Derrick thing, and he was like this. He's like, man.
Wait, in the first inning, they gave up 10 runs?
Yes, in a winner-take-all game.
That's a long game.
They lost 13-1.
Wow!
Not bad, considering.
They score!
And Brian McCann retired afterwards.
They only stopped him with three runs after the 10.
This is why Thomas has to carry his stubble. He's getting ready to
get his turn. He's about to spiral.
I'm unhinged.
He's unhinged.
Emma said she came in to work yesterday right after the first inning ended, and she said Thomas wouldn't even look at her.
I was that sad.
I cannot even imagine you that upset.
I was very upset.
Well, Atlanta United has a second season playoff. So.
Can you imagine? Emma was probably just like, Thomas, are you okay?
Thomas? You good? Thomas?
Okay.
I was good the first half of the day, and then when she showed up, it was like completely different.
He was like, there's a woman here, too? Ooh! Okay. So, and then next to Thomas, dang, that was a long, like, aside. Okay, next to Thomas, we got Riley, Milan Center film fan.
Is Joaquin hot?
Depends, I guess.
He's a Phoenix,
He's a Phoenix. He burns.
Heartthrob family.
Okay, so, should we just talk about the joke?
I don't care.
Which one should we start with?
I was going to say the Joker.
Judy or Joker?
Oh!
No, not Judy.
We can do a little warm-up with Judy.
Judy.
A little jumping.
So, wait. Okay, no. Wait. I want to know, why did you have such a... So, Riley... No, we'll actually go around and actually do everybody's reaction.
We're not talking...
Wait, are we doing Judy or Joker?
No, Joker. That was just a joke. Wrong J. Okay. All right, so for me...
So, is the intro going to be non-spoilers?
Yeah. Spoilers? General thoughts. Yeah, we'll go around and we'll just do general thoughts at first. Yeah. So, my general thought about the movie, I definitely... the first shot kind of set up everything for me, and I was just like, okay, I'm kind of like... I wanted to see what they were going to do, but then as the movie started to progress, it was going into all the little places that I thought it was going to go, and then I was just like, okay, this is just... It's just okay. It's executed in a way where the filmmaking actually... I guess for it, this... I don't even want to say this genre, but I'm just going to say... For this particular type of movie, I think that they kind of like really did something that was just a little bit special. But it doesn't go above and beyond. It's not great for me. It was okay. And then I think the end kind of wrapped it up really nicely. But then it was after the fact. It's the afterthoughts of the movie and kind of like the discussion about the movie is kind of helping me kind of build a better grasp. Like I have a different perspective on the movie that kind of like elevates it just a little bit, and that's what, because I originally was just going to be, it was sitting around like a 7 or something for me. We're gonna talk about you. It's sitting around a 7, but then based upon all the theories and stuff like that I guess we'll go into when we talk about spoilers, I kind of get more intrigued the more I think about those other theories, because I'm just like, that sounds good. And then it elevated itself to like maybe 7.5, maybe 8. And that's the only, yeah. Okay, but that's just my perspective. So, Logan, what was your...
Yeah. All right, so I'll just lay down the official statement on what the Joker is.
Okay.
It's not nearly as smart as all the people think that it's a masterpiece.
Correct.
It's not nearly as dumb as all the people that think it's retarded.
Correct.
It is fine. I think as a movie, it's a solid 7, I think. But as a comic book movie, to me, this is a 9. This might be one of my favorite comic book movies. If I compare it to other comic book movies, I go, this had me invested and tried to do something unique and interesting.
I can't wait until we get more into the discussion about that, too, because I think that the fact, thinking about it as a comic book movie, it's like...
I liked it. If it wasn't the Joker and it didn't do this comic booky stuff, mm-hmm. I would have been like, what is this awkward Scorsese copy?
Yeah, like, but the thing is, it's like, I want to bring this up a little bit later, but it's like, if we got a different string of movies, like if we stuck to movies that were kind of like in the vein of like the Sam Raimi like Spider-Man, like if we had like separate, not just separate universe, but just like movies that were being spun like that, where they were kind of treated like their own
self-contained,
almost self-contained. Would the Joker even stand out?
I think this
out?
Is absolutely what DC has to do now. Make another Wonder Woman. Don't worry about connecting it to Superman and Batman. Make the Batman movies unrelated. Just make all your characters unrelated. Fuck it.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a second. But Thomas, what was your general thoughts of it?
Basically what Logan said.
Okay.
But I wasn't actually thinking of it as a comic book movie while I was watching it. And I'll go into that later.
Yeah, I was the same way. It was... quite a bit
into
the movie.
Riley.
Our film Riley.
This is quite possibly my least favorite movie of the year.
Nice.
It's like, at best, I think it's mediocre.
Okay.
I don't think the Joaquin performance is anything to be, like, it's overrated already. Okay. And it's been out for a weekend.
Okay.
I think he's just doing the master performance, but laughing.
I haven't seen the Masters.
I don't necessarily fault him for that, though. I fault Todd Phillips more so than I do for him, because that's what he brought to the table, and Todd Phillips didn't really change anything. But then again, Todd Phillips isn't Paul Thomas Anderson in any regard.
Okay.
I don't think the script is very good.
I agree with that, too.
And I personally feel like the comic book elements of this movie are shoehorned in.
Oh, they are.
Really?
Okay.
I thought they were... I can't wait. Oh, okay. Oh, we'll talk about it, because there is an aspect of that for me that definitely is, and I was just like, what? No, I didn't want it to go in this direction. And I know exactly which parts you're talking about, but then there are other parts that were just like, nuanced. And that's
it took me out of the movie at first, because I forgot I was watching a Joker movie, and then when there's like Thomas Wayne on TV at the beginning, I'm like, oh, this is...
I think you can make the exact same movie and make him like a... I don't know, like, make him any other sort of, like, on-the-street sign spinner kind of a character. Mm-hmm. Like, you know those Statues of Liberties that flip signs for the tax place?
Yeah.
Like, you could have made him one of those, and the movie still would have worked. Like, I don't think it's a Joker movie.
Oh. I think the movie still would have worked, but it would have been a cheap imitation of movies we've seen before.
Oh, sure.
I think Todd Phillips really just wanted to make his version of Taxi Driver. And then he was like, well, I want people to see it too. So let's put it in under the guise of somebody that people want to see in a movie, Joker.
Do you think he wrote the script and then realized nobody's going to see this, I got to make it popular?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's exactly what he wanted to do.
I think he took the Joker and went backwards.
You do?
I absolutely do. I think he took the Joker and went, oh, Taxi Driver.
I definitely can see both.
Okay, so let's kind of get into the things. I guess we will talk about the stuff that we liked more, because I think that the movie does a lot of things right, and that's the reason why I want to kind of get into that first. So mainly the strongest aspects for me, I hear what you're saying about the acting itself, but I haven't seen The Master. I haven't actually seen that movie. Well, so
I also think that's a good point to talk about the actor too. If you're not on board with what Joaquin Phoenix is doing, you will hate this movie. I don't think anyone doesn't like this. Everyone that likes this movie loves the performance. If the performance isn't keeping you into the movie around it isn't as good.
Yeah,
he's basically in every frame of the movie.
literally. Yeah, so. And that's the reason, like, to me, that first element of just being kind of focused in on Joaquin's character as the Joker, and like even like if it's more so, I like the acting a lot, but it's just kind of like it's what I would kind of expect. It kind of goes through all, and that's the reason why I was like, there's these things that is like kind of expect. But the stuff that was special to me is that even though the script and was kind of it was bad, but Joaquin has a way of making it feel like there's something that's got like more to it, and that's kind of what put me behind.
He
definitely elevates it. Yeah. It's just that they added these little nuances to the Joker character where it's like he'll do something. Like there's a part where he's telling a joke and he's dancing, and then he does the thing where he shoots the gun, and it's like, and that's not even a spoiler. Like, but he shoots a gun, and it's like
he shoots a gun. Wait, he does. When?
Yeah.
At what point?
When he first gets it.
Yeah, he first gets it. He's dancing, and he's like, yeah, and he does the joke.
That's probably my favorite scene.
Talk about spoilers.
Hey,
no, this is spoilers now, guys.
Well, I just want to talk about that.
He becomes the Joker.
Out, yeah. When he's in the living room, he does that little thing, and then he shoots. Like that was such a. That's a Joker moment, and even his reaction after that, there's so many little nuances.
Is that what you're talking about? When he shoots the hall?
Yeah, yeah. It's like they have smartly placed Joker moments, and that's kind of what made it feel like I was like, okay, yeah, this is it's still in the comic book realm, but it's just like, it's just taken into this other sense of it kind of being like they're trying. It's not really film yet. It's like, it's still a movie. Like, I don't know how to explain. Like, to me, it's not like something that's like taken to like the next degree. Yeah, like it's not something that's going to be like, it's just pushing the envelope just because of the IP itself and the person who's doing the performance. And he does do a really good job, but it's just like, there's that main thing for me is just like, it doesn't quite get to the point of where it can be like great. It just stays like right where it needs to be. And but it's the great part about it is the conversation, like I said, getting into the theories and stuff like that that kind of spun off of it, just because of like certain things that take place during the film. Like, it kind of plays with your perception, and that's the part that kind of like got me more interested in it. So what were your positives?
My positives? I think it's a well-crafted film. I think each technical department's doing a great job. I think the score does a lot of heavy lifting.
Yeah,
it does. The score could be over the top if you're out of the movie, but if you're into the movie, then it's working really well. Mm-hmm. I think the cinematography is pretty good.
Yeah, Gotham looks really
mostly
good.
Like the lighting and color more than like where the camera is. But yeah. Like the aesthetic look of it is good.
Yeah.
I like Joaquin's performance, so... He kept me engaged. Like I said, if I didn't like his performance, I probably would have hated this movie.
Yeah, from that first shot, if you're not on board, you can kind of tell where you're going to be at during the movie.
I think the script is interesting. I think there's a lot of good. There's a lot of good in there, and there's a lot of bad mixed in. A
lot of bad.
So my positive, I guess, is part of the script.
Thomas.
I don't know if this was intentional, but I think that. It works this way in that the Batman stories that we've seen before have always been about Batman fighting against the dirty criminals of Gotham that wronged his parents and are wronging everyone.
Yeah.
And this is sort of, this flipped on top of its head, mm-hmm. where it's the dirty criminals that you saw Batman fighting, they're the regular people fighting against the rich, the powerful, the people that treat them like scum.
Some of them. The Joker at no point in this movie is a regular person. He's dealing with a lot of psychological problems from the very beginning.
Shall I go through my positives before I bash anyone at this movie?
Yeah!
My positives are sometimes the cinematography was neat and Brian Tyree Henry.
And that one scene!
He was perfect.
He was perfect.
Yeah.
Wait, okay, I guess we're going to get into our negatives.
A lot of negatives.
But mine are kind of just like, mine are probably just mostly nitpicking, but also there's just some, like, yeah, it definitely borrows a, not borrows, it's Taxi Driver, but it's like, not a lot of people are familiar with Taxi Driver. You know what I'm saying?
I just watched that again the other day. great.
Yeah, but like I'm talking about like real like film fans like us, like we'll go back and we'll go watch Taxi Driver. We know what Taxi Driver is.
Would you go back and watch this?
Actually, yeah, I would. I think I definitely would because there's enough of it there to kind of make me go like, yeah, this was something that didn't make me even feel uncomfortable. Like even the fact that people are talking about it being like so violent, I'm like, there are so many other violent movies.
I don't think it's that violent.
I know
the violence isn't that much. It's just the quality.
I don't
treat it. It's not the quality. It's the fact that it's glorified within the society, and that's the thing.
Sure. It's more of the tone of the movie overall.
Sure.
That's what it is.
Depressing,
yeah, and they're trying to, and they, also that's the other thing too. It's like that's not actually negative. That's just a general statement. But
yeah, I don't think
the one scene's really violent though.
The one in the apartment.
Yeah,
yeah,
that one is really violent.
Oh yeah.
Okay. No, I mean, but outside of that moment, there's not a lot of.
But it's not really that bad. Like
no, it's not bad for a horror movie,
but
or
I'll tell
an
you,
R-rated indie movie. But it's bad for a comic book movie.
It's bad for a comic movie, and they use it as marketing. They said, oh, this is a violent movie. Don't bring your kids. And people are like, oh, I haven't seen that
did
in a
they?
Comic
I
book.
I don't think the movie marketed it itself as that. I think all the news outlets that thought kids were going to go see this movie did.
Yeah, and that turned it into marketing, I think, personally.
I can see where you're coming from with it. Okay, I can see where you're coming from.
That. Like, since people were fans of this movie before they saw it, they used that as a sort of, hey, this is different than all the Marvel movies, stuff like that. Look at this. Go see this.
Yeah.
It's new.
They kind of have to sell it that way, though, because you can't sell it as a Marvel movie.
That's like, true. That's
you have
yeah.
to sell the movie you
yeah.
have.
Yeah.
yeah. And fair. It's just really interesting because it's just like, I guess we're going to get into that. Like, the effect that it's having.
The amount of controversial and, like, reactionary, like, takes on this before the movie even came out. And before anybody actually saw the movie is like astounding.
Yeah.
I think
the movie wasn't about what all those people were saying
yeah.
leading up to the film.
I think that the fact that they like had they
yeah.
skipped festival season, like had they skipped Venice, had they skipped TIFF, I think this movie, I think it made more money because it went to the festivals, but I think it hurt itself awards wise going to the festivals. I think this movie would be set up for a better award season run had it just premiered this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely doesn't have a big chance because of the media reaction, I feel like.
Yeah.
But I think winning Venice went a long way to helping it. Maybe if the backlash hadn't come as quick, like it
yeah.
waited until the week it came out.
That's fair.
It had a shot, but the backlash was already.
I guess
Venice
was
so
big
long
hit.
From
yeah.
when they
yeah.
came out.
And even before, okay, so like, oh, I forgot, like, yeah, we were talking about more so
yeah,
than negative.
They should have just held it after Venice.
Yeah.
yeah.
Before we get into the I guess the political part of it because we have to
spoilers
yeah no yeah we're let's I want to talk more about the negative so yeah the script is one of those things because there's like I said Joaquin does a lot to do the heavy lifting and all the other actors and actresses also do a lot to kind of like it's kind of like they I don't know maybe it's probably just the script but the directing and then the acting in the movie was actually done like to me really well like. I know how you feel about Joaquin. Like it's like kind of like the.
I mean, it's fine.
It's
I still think the performance
ones.
Is good, but I just think it's overrated.
Yeah,
it's ones that out. It's out. It's out there to the point of like you're either on board with it or you're not.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I don't think anyone can watch this. You just said it was okay, but
I
don't think anyone can watch
doing.
This and say okay.
Yeah.
Like it's, you either like it or don't like it, and
yeah.
you're gonna get a lot of people that don't like it because it's so out there.
Yeah. I've just seen it done better before.
Mm.
His character really reminded me of like a teenage anarchist that
yeah.
knew he wanted to like knew that he was angry at something, but didn't know what he was angry about.
I think one of the biggest problems of this movie is that like so this character has never had this kind of role before. Like you like there's a I feel like there's a reason like Jack Nicholson's Joker and Heath Ledger's Joker and even to a degree Jared Leto's Joker.
Yeah.
You don't know really where they came from or why they. Started doing the things they're doing and
yeah.
it like kind of stems from a part like the characterization of the character of Joker
yeah.
in this movie doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion it doesn't.
Okay, that'll be interesting when we talk about spoilers to talk about why because
okay
yeah.
I'll wait then.
Okay, yeah, okay, but
can
it,
we do
even,
spoilers now?
Yeah.
Oh, we're still doing
well
negatives.
Yeah we'll do your negatives
more
we'll
negatives.
Get to the negatives yeah, go ahead what are your negatives because those are kind of pretty much mine and the movie kind of goes in places where you think it's gonna go so it's just like okay
okay way too heavy borrowing from King of Comedy and Taxi Driver and Network, just really any 70s movie.
Yeah.
And okay the script, the script goes in ebbs and flows is the big negative for me. Like, some things I think they tie in really well, and some things I think don't work.
Yeah. That one thing that they try to shoehorn is, that was definitely a thing that I was like, why are we doing this? Because it's like
the interesting thing about it.
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh,
the stuff with the comic book part, like,
oh, okay.
And the top, yeah, all that stuff. That sure. was just like, yeah, the shoehorn.
Oh, one of the positives I forgot to mention is I do think it's it deals with a lot of important questions and themes. I don't think it. I think it asks a lot of questions. It doesn't provide any answers. The movie doesn't really have an opinion, but it is, wants to talk about things. Like, I think it wants to bring things up. Like, it's not unintentional.
All right, I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
Thomas, negatives?
Well, yeah, the movie seems like it was written by the guy who wrote The Hangover. So, like, there's just like the through line of The Hangover, like, it's very surface level, but, like, there's no sense of cleverness to it.
Like, it's very heavy handed.
The end of The Hangover, yeah. They find their friend on the roof. And they went through all this crazy shit. Just to say, oh, he's up on the roof.
Yeah.
Joker's on the roof.
And if you wanna say that's clever, then sure, but I don't think.
No,
no, I don't think he's a clever. I don't think he's a clever writer. But I mean, in those Hangovers movies, really just the first one, all three of those characters have arcs. Like, he's doing something specific with each of those.
Yeah,
characters.
That's actually true.
But I think is his individual scene writing and stuff like that, he's not very clever. Like,
dialogue
clever time. Things don't happen in this movie.
No,
but I don't think he's an idiot that's just happened to be here. Like,
clever, I think in Joker he thinks he's being clever, and then it doesn't work.
I'll get that in. I can't think of a part where he's going to be clever, but I think I know.
Can we spoil?
What's your negatives first? What's your negatives?
I know exactly what you're thinking.
Well, he's going to talk about the negatives.
Actually, yeah, you
so
can
start
off
level
with this
rundown
yeah.
of yeah. non-spoiler negatives.
Okay. The character of Joker doesn't make sense. Zazie Beetz is underutilized criminally. Robert De Niro also. The script is bad. I didn't like the score.
Ooh, okay. He was not on board.
I thought there were a lot of open-ended questions that were never answered at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I think the twist, quote-unquote, was unnecessary and still doesn't really make sense to me.
I don't know what that is.
We'll talk about that.
Do I have any others? I think the politics are horrible.
Okay.
And that might be it.
That's it? Okay. All right, we'll start off spoilers now, and then this can just be an open discussion. That way, because I feel like we've got all of our opinions out. So, all right. So, when we talk about spoilers and everything, I want to just talk about, like, the talk and the stuff that is really interesting to me about the film. Mm-hmm. The twist that I think that you're referring to is with the Zazie Beetz character. No.
Well, I was talking more so about his mom and Thomas Wayne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's the one I thought.
Both of those are
about.
Like the big
but
twist.
But here's my thing.
The mom more so than
But when you see the way that the Zazie Beetz thing happens or how it is executed, you can actually interpret that twist however you want it. And actually,
because you don't see the end result, is that what you're saying?
No, because you're actually getting everything from particularly his perspective at the time.
Yeah,
sure.
So when he goes into that Zazie Beetz, like, into her house, and then you actually get to see the reality of what's going on, there is a sense of where
I thought that was heavy-handed.
It was
as
very
soon, as soon as she said, "Aren't you an author? You live down the street, don't you?" I knew
that was all they needed.
Yeah, but
I did not need the Fight Club flashback.
Okay, that's true. That's very true. But also, I didn't feel like I needed even before he went in the house. I felt like I saw it coming because everything just did not add up.
So that twist in particular kind of saved this movie.
Yeah, that's literally where I'm at.
Because I did not buy this relationship at all. I did not. He wasn't charming. I did not understand the chemistry between these two at all and how it was working. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is a dumb movie. And in a lesser movie, that relationship would have been real. And she would have died or something. Like, she either should have not been in the movie or what they did. Because that brought me back on board to the movie. I've lost it.
Going back on Taxi Driver, though... Mm-hmm. Like, in Taxi Driver, he seems like the character in Taxi Driver can actually woo women.
Robert De Niro is charming.
Yeah, like,
and he's good looking, and he, yeah.
And it doesn't seem like Joaquin Phoenix's character could actually,
yeah, I agree.
Hold a conversation with a woman.
Yeah, and that was the important part, is to be like, no, he's not only does he, like, not only is he experiencing what he feels is the worst of society, and I specify when I say what he feels, because it could just be all in his head, and I wish they would have played with our expectations a little bit more. You know that scene where, like, they're talking about, like, oh, why'd you steal the sign? And he's just like, I didn't steal the sign. I wanted more open-end questions like that, where it's like, maybe if you're in his apartment, you would see the sign. But not to make it obvious, where it's just like something where it kind of glosses over those things, to kind of like play with his perspective.
Well,
more.
He didn't steal the sign, right?
No, he didn't. But
I,
like,
yeah, if you saw, if he saw the sign in his apartment,
you wanted them
you would
to
be
play
like,
with,
how did he put it back together?
No. That, but no,
was real, right?
No. Yeah, but that's the thing. I wanted to play with that reality of just like, if we're going to do the thing with the Zazzy Beats thing, let's show smaller signs. Like, even when his coworkers, like,
well,
thing with the gun, where he's just like, he's like, man, don't put what's in my, like, you know what I'm saying? He confronted him on that, and it's just like, I want to have a multiple choice.
I'll take that one step further, because we see he imagines himself on Robert De Niro's show.
Yes, that
and,
was another one,
and
which was heavy.
That
right?
was okay. showing that like
that,
he
that was funny.
That was showing that he imagines things in his head. So it sort of leads up to him imagining Zazie Beetz.
Right.
But I think if they didn't even have that at all, if they just the first thing he imagined is Zazie Beetz. If there weren't little clues to show that he was like that, that would have been a little better.
I hear
you. Think that would have been better?
Yeah, not leading up, not doing what Trey's saying. And
I'm literally just saying,
I
like,
think it's
hint.
Best if it's not a big twist that she's. I like that they just show that he kind of is delusions and has had things right away.
Yeah.
I think that keeps me on board in the movie.
Yeah, but that's the thing that, honestly, like, when I can't come back and think about it, I'm like, well, since we're looking at it from his perspective, what parts are real? It's kind of like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it is not that it's...
Whatever you want to be real.
Literally.
None
and that's,
of the movie could be real. All of the parts
and,
of it.
And that's...
Now we're starting to sound like Todd Phillips.
Actually, that's true.
No,
but
that's
okay
what I,
with that.
It's what I said earlier. This movie has no answers.
Yeah.
It isn't
yeah.
interested in answers. This movie is interested in questions.
Yeah. And that's the part that kind of
it doesn't
makes me
ask them
more
all
excited.
Or that well,
and those nuances of the Joker. Like, there's one scene where he's there's chaos going on. And, like, even with the clown people, like, we don't know if that's... This could be something that's all in his head. Like, people wearing clown masks. Like, we don't know that. But, like, when they're having that whole thing outside his thing, outside of, like, Thomas Wayne's manor, and then he, like, not manor, but that theater, and then he sneaks in, it shows... That is, like, quintessentially...
That even happened.
Yeah, but I'm saying, quintessentially, that is stuff that the Joker, like, we don't know that, but that is his superpower. Like, they were able to show that. Like, he looks... If he took off the makeup without all of those things, he looks meek. He looks like he doesn't, like... He doesn't look like he's, like, completely dangerous. He's kind of, like, he can... He festers off of this chaos. He's, like... And the way that they showed this Joker is, like, this was really cool. And I'm actually very happy that we don't have any comparisons to him and the Heath Ledger. Like, I thought that was going to be a bigger thing when it came, like, when this movie came out, but it's not. And I kind of like that, just because these two things are two separate. They're two separate Jokers, but the same character. And you can kind of see them in different... It's like...
Yeah, I see a lot of similarities and a lot of differences between the two.
I feel
yeah,
like
I can see that they're based on the same
person. I feel like they're two totally different characters.
Yeah.
I do.
I feel
don't
like...
see a basis other than clown.
There's
clown.
A couple things. There's a couple things.
There's a couple things. I think I see... What I see a lot in Joaquin Phoenix is Mark Hamill. Not
okay.
in necessarily in the performance, but in
yeah,
a lot of the character traits
yeah.
that
okay.
he assumes as he goes on to the movie. It's almost like he's becoming Mark Hamill's Joker.
I see him as the one from the live action one. I see him from the like the
which
live
action?
Rock, like the Spanish guy who was
Cesar Romero.
Cesar Romero.
You see
he's
him
like
the
okay.
60s Batman.
I don't know anything about the 60s.
I don't either.
So.
I don't know anything about Mark Hamill either. So maybe that's why.
Well, I see him as more as the Cesar Romero mixed in with like
or like the comic book, like Killing Joke Batman. Like,
okay. That like story. The dancing. I love the dancing. I love the dancing. I also love,
I mean, they show him use crowds and get away, like rallying mobs, which is like one of the Joker's big things.
And
the
his,
I think that him, the final scene with the, or like the big scene on the news show.
Yeah.
I think is extremely Joker.
Me too. Even when he's shaking,
like,
there's
he
so many
her
like,
and then he shoots him.
Yeah.
And after and he shoots him, he's like, he's sort of like
camera.
Doing a little.
No,
jig.
But even before yeah. that, he shoots him again, and then but he's gonna shoot him again, and then he throws the gun all like quick. Like there's like that like that whole thing. There's that is the Joker like through and through. Like that's the part that's like the magic about it. Like there's those nuances. Those are the things that make it strong for me.
I think I think the movie for me excelled a lot as it got on because. Mm-hmm. Kind of each character trait of the Joker slowly and builds on. I think they do a good job when he gets off of his drugs to there, taking him from the place he was for the first 30. Because the first like act or act and a half, 40 minutes, he doesn't really change that much.
Yeah.
And then from that, it's like every scene he slightly changes.
Slightly changing. And when you see, like from the part when he's like putting on the makeup and you actually see him kill, like he kills the guy. And then that part where the shirt guy is freaking out and then he tries to jump. Get out. He lets him go. The Joker lets him go.
He can't reach the door.
And he can't reach the door. And I'm like, that is... Whoever wrote that, like, that's... They're a little...
So that's Todd Phillips in spades when he works.
Yeah. That the, look, okay. When he works, that is, like, perfect.
That screams exactly Todd Phillips to me. And it also worked for some reason.
It did. Because that's the Joker. Like, that whole scene, Joker. And then the talk show, when he becomes the Joker, was literally just like, wow. Like, I was on board... with all that, and I'm okay with the slow build. It's just that it was just executed in a way that just felt like it was just too, I don't know. It just didn't give enough. I don't know what I was looking for, but it just hit everything the way it was supposed to.
For me, I think the turning point for his character is when he learns the revelation of his mom.
Yeah.
And also the fact that like. We saw that he couldn't really function in the world like a normal person throughout like the first three quarters of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when he says that he's not on his meds anymore that I think he actually is starting to act like the Joker or like he actually has a grasp on what's happening around him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a huge difference from when he's on drugs and when he's not.
Yeah.
And this person. And I think that's definitely a question they're asking.
But speaking of the mom, you want to talk about the...
No, well, Riley, I don't know where you want
to
start.
Oh, I wanted to talk about the Zazzy Beats thing real quick.
Okay, sure.
Because I wanted to say, I feel like the only reason, the main reason Zazzy Beats is in the movie and that is there is so that you can, has to do with Thomas Wayne and the mother and the kid. It's all about setting up the delusional relationship that parallels the mom, maybe. I feel like this movie is obsessed with that question, is Thomas Wayne his dad? And it's like,
okay,
that is a linchpin in allowing you to see it either way.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My problem with the Zazzy Beetz character is, I don't want to call it misogynistic, but it's very anti-feminist, I think, personally.
Her character
like, and the way she's handled, mainly actually just the way women are handled in this movie at all.
At which point? Like you talking about the whole thing, or just like when you introduce the character?
When at
I think
the
I'm
afraid, at the basically by the end of her arc in quotes, there's no arc, by the end of her screen time,
mm-hmm.
it reaches this very anti-feminist state because as it was going through, I was like, okay, maybe this character is handled kind of well when like in his delusions when she was there in the hospital with him, or at the comedy club or all these other times, and then all of that is just immediately retconned and like stripped from the characterization of Joker, and
so you were
turned into, I wasn't necessarily with it because I didn't like the movie, but
okay.
I wasn't like firmly against it until he goes into her apartment and just I assumedly kills her because Todd Phillips doesn't.
So that's what I was gonna ask if you guys thought, because I didn't think about it at first, but
I'm okay with
maybe he did.
Not that I'm okay with both, but I'm like, I like the fact that they left that question.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This movie is obsessed with questions.
I just don't think Todd Phillips. I think that might have been, had Todd Phillips written in some kind of gory or even just like.
I don't think he would have ever written an attack on a woman in this movie. Not
you
in this,
don't
no
because you know
because of the that
know.
Would have made it what you're saying
right.
And I think he was very conscious to try not to do that.
Yeah, I think
he
just
well
walked out.
It's good that you have that perspective, but I kind of can see it both ways.
I don't.
And that's the thing that I kind of...
I don't because...
I assume she just walked out, but I think now maybe.
I don't. My immediate feeling was, oh, Todd Phillips didn't have the balls to do that. Honestly.
Really?
On screen.
Okay.
Yes. Because I, based on the way I took it and not showing that, I was like, oh, he doesn't want to...
Also for the fact that everybody that dies in the movie is somebody that has wronged him, and I don't think she ever did.
I think
all of that is intentional, and it's okay. I think he wants you to ask whether or not he killed.
That's my point, and I think that's kind of cool that he can actually have that effect on you and make you think that he actually did.
This movie is obsessed with.
Yeah, because I really don't know. I have no idea.
Okay. Well, then, maybe I could take... I think it's lazy.
okay, at the very least.
because it's doing what Logan's saying. It's bringing up a question and it's refusing to answer it.
But that's the theme of the movie. It's like,
there's a lot of movies that bring up questions. Taxi Driver doesn't really have any answers either.
Well, I just watched that. Yeah.
You don't... Okay.
Taxi Driver's just... I mean, written so much better
Taxi
than
Driver
this
is
movie.
That's very true.
I guess a lot of movies don't answer questions.
Sure.
They just ask them.
Sure. My main problem with this movie comes from the script.
Yeah.
I just think the script is so bad. So another one of my issues is that the character of Joker, I don't even want to say the characterization of the character is bad. I just don't think there is any characterization. Mm-hmm. I don't think there is an arc. I think the Joker at the beginning and the Joker at the end is the same character minus medication. Which is problematic in amongst itself, but on top of the narrative structure, it doesn't work. And it doesn't work because there's no foil to this character. Like, this character is evil, right?
Yes.
And then, so there's nothing to work against that.
Is he justifiably evil? That's what everybody's trying, I guess.
I don't think he was inherently evil to begin with.
Yeah.
To begin with. Okay.
I think I agree that there's not a lot of change in the character outside of the drugs and him accepting that Joker persona.
Okay.
But I think a lot of it is the first quarter of this movie is showing you how he gets beat down by everyone.
Yeah.
And I think the point is, he's not getting beat down for the first time. We just spend the first 30 minutes of what his entire life leading up to this was like.
And that's why, that's like the reason why.
It's like he probably changed when he was 15.
Yeah.
When he was 12, he was probably a good kid. Like it,
okay.
It's like.
Well, I guess my problem with that then, if we're going from there, is that.
The whole story.
Turns this character sympathetic. And then so his justification for fixing his problems through violence later in the movie makes it. Yes. Makes this character more problematic than he's required to be because this is a villain.
I think if you identify with this character too much, then that could be bad.
Sure.
For sure. But I don't think the sympathy and the justification are related.
Yeah.
I think I can have sympathy for this character and absolutely do not think he has justification for what he says.
Okay.
I can still sympathize.
I don't think it's sympathy either. I think it's empathy.
Empathy.
I think you can feel what
he's
feeling, but you don't sympathize with him.
Yeah. And
I don't remember the difference. I felt bad for him at the beginning of the movie.
Okay.
I feel like if he ever had anyone in his entire life that loved him and he had a system and medicine and like the state of the city wasn't as bad as this, this guy might not have done those things. And I think the movie is very much trying to say these are things that can cause that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotham is like a super hyper
over ridiculous medication, bad
funding
for health
sure.
to cause that, the growing gap in the 1%, treating people poorly but below you, classes. I think the movie is very much trying to say these are bad things in our society. So
sure.
That's why I think the movie isn't as dumb or not a point as people are saying.
Okay.
Yeah, isn't it? I agree with that because like even there are parts of when you're watching the movie as well, it's just like, okay, I don't know. The stuff where he's getting beat up on, it's like, yeah, we've seen this done so many times. And it's just like, okay, yeah, you want us to feel bad for this character. But then it's like, once he gets to the part where it's like, he's starting to read the letters and it's just like, he's figuring out more about his past and like, maybe the reason why he is this way. There's definitely a sense of where you can see it and you're just like, okay, I can at least, you've given me enough, just enough to kind of just be like, I have empathy for this character.
That being said, I don't think he is, and this is a often used term with this movie, I don't think he's an incel.
I don't either.
I don't know what that
because,
means.
Because I don't think he's going out to kill people just to kill them. He is, like I said before, he's only killing them to people that have done him wrong.
And he, the only it just thing so is happens
there's,
it.
It just
he
so happens it. That there's a movement going on at the same time that he's doing this.
The movement is caused
by and it's caused by what he did, yeah. But it's not Everybody because talks, it's not because he meant for that to happen. Those three guys on the train just so happened to be three Wayne businessmen. And that's why that whole movement started.
Yeah.
It wasn't because he knew they were Wayne businessmen. He just was defending himself, albeit wrongly, yeah. By killing them.
Just a dog chasing his own tail.
Yeah.
Like Heath Ledger.
And him actually just actually feel. And that's the part, the thing that, when you said he didn't change a lot, I kind of, there's a part of me that is like, there is a part of him, even like on a psychological level, even without just the idea of just it being like, because that, in the idea, that is just, the idea of there being the medication is the reason why he might be going like more off the rig. Like, yes, that is a that's a clear thing, but he also does feel like he has a sense of control. And
He's a lot more clear. He's a lot smarter when he's off his medication.
Yeah.
He doesn't, the laugh seems to go away. A lot of things.
Literally, you see that, right?
He becomes much sharper and much more like better functioning person.
Mm-hmm.
But now he has all this ambition or whatever that wasn't there before, and he has a messed up mind because he's been treated bad for so long. So it's like a loaded gun, and when the medication goes, it's like,
cool, right?
Now
yeah.
This machine is working and it's firing.
Yeah.
Okay. Evenly. That's a. I have a problem with the laugh.
Yeah. Okay.
As with most of the movie, I feel like the laugh was used more so as a plot device than it was an actual part of the character. Mm. Like, it only came up in useful situations in order to advance a plot in a way that Todd Phillips wanted it to go.
At which point?
On the subway.
Or
with the lady
comedy
on the bus,
club.
That's
how he got noticed.
Well, the bus thing was the setup. Comedy club mm-hmm. was another part of the setup.
And then you don't see it for the rest of the movie. I didn't think about the
medication
part of that.
You see him coughing and laughing a lot on his own. He does it in his house. Like, almost a lot of the scenes where he's dancing, he does some kind of...
And he does laugh at the very last scene, but albeit it's, like, more of a hiccupy
After he finds out about his delusion and he goes back in the apartment, there's shots of him sitting in the apartment and he's, like, laughing, like... it's, like, a 40-second scene, a minute scene, and it's nothing but him laughing.
Yeah.
Choking on his laugh. And, like,
oh, yeah.
It's, like, that's
yeah,
when he
kind
of gets it out of his system. It's kind of done after that point.
I agree.
But
see,
like
but that's what I'm saying.
See,
I'm like,
I think a lot of it is planned. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of structure.
There's a lot of structure.
Why, though?
But,
yeah.
Like, I don't get the point of that.
They're just trying to, these superhero movies that, okay, I guess we're getting into this.
Not a superhero.
No, okay, you're right. Not a superhero. But these comic book properties are treated in a certain way. So it's just like, how do you capture that? And that reason why I like going back to the Raimi films is because they have a sense of rawness and they have like a sense of whimsicalness and like there's something to those movies.
And the person who wrote them knew the character too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Todd Phillips knew the Joker.
Either way, he still got like he got as much as the nuances that I wanted to see out of a Joker movie. That kind of like if this was Joker in the beginning and it's like there's a magic to that, like seeing him before that, I can see it in Joaquin's performance, and I think that that's the part that makes me kind of be like, okay, I'm okay with like calling this a comic book movie, but I'm also good with just calling this just a movie itself.
Yeah.
Just like it's just a movie, and not a film, like something that's gonna be like I'm not
it's
sure
cinema, not a film.
Yes,
right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just like
not sure about that one.
Even the fact that it's just like thinking about like the publicity it's getting, it's just like. We kind of have inflated it this big. Well,
yeah, the media loves
way.
This movie.
Yeah.
They love it.
I think it comes back to the whole IP thing, though.
Yeah,
just because people know what it is going into it.
Yeah, the reason I think this movie is good is because it's a joke. Or a lot of them. Like,
and there's Batman lore.
Yeah.
Oh, that Batman.
For example, the Bruce Wayne should not have been in this movie.
Yeah.
Thomas Wayne, yes, but not Bruce Wayne.
And I could have done without both.
Albeit, I did like that whole scene where he's like walking up with the clown nose to the.
Yeah, I like that. That's why I was like, I like Bruce
Wayne. I liked that, but I don't know if Bruce Wayne should have been there.
I think that. Todd Phillips is really kicking himself for not making Bruce Wayne like 17 at this point, so he can make another $50 million movie.
But he is very adamant about this being the only one.
I just heard
recently Joaquin really wants to do a sequel.
Yeah. I saw that.
But he has no interest in doing a sequel with Batman, or he wants to do another standalone.
And I really don't want, before we even get into that, like, also, the thing with these theories as well is, like, that part where he says, like, he's sitting in there with that, the last psychiatrist who's, he's in Arkham, and then the psychiatrist is talking to him, and then she's like, he does the laugh, and then she's like, what are you laughing at? And then he's like, well, you wouldn't get it. Like, when that joke, well, like, what was the joke?
Well, the joke was that Bruce Wayne doesn't have parents.
But that could literally just be, we don't know if that's like, we don't know if that's just like part of this multiple choice thing. Like, maybe that's the circumstances of why that happened. That's probably not what happened, but in his mind, it could be so that he thinks that he has had this much influence that it's he's caused Batman that grief. He's caused Batman that problem. Yeah, and I think that's kind of poetic. I didn't like it at first when they first put Bruce Wayne in. I was just like, why are we doing this?
I didn't mind Bruce Wayne. I did not like the son thing for a while, but I got on board with it by the end.
Yeah, I was definitely like this. I was like, oh, they're going this route. But then as soon as they were just like, it could be or it couldn't be, or no, it's definitely not, but then maybe. It's like, I like all these questions. To me, it's like, cool, you've made this fun. But I also think if we had other comic book movies that were coming out in this same similar fashion, not like like
they don't have to be a villain and down like violent and dark, but like a character study.
Character study.
Yeah, a slow movie that doesn't have an action climax. Right. I'd be down for more.
I would be too, and that's why I'm like, if we had one movie, I wonder if this would have stood out. I wonder if this would have caused as much ruckus as it is, just because of how this.
Well, the ruckus is all due with the IP, I think. I think there would be nobody would be debating whether this movie is good or bad for society if it didn't say Joker on it.
Okay,
that's a
good one.
Society.
What do you get when? What do you gotta say? Oh, you gotta say more stuff to say, Riley? Because I'm really interested.
So do you think this justifies his action? Do you think the movie? Because you asked that earlier about the sympathy and justification. So do you think the movie?
I don't.
Like, wants you to justify?
I don't, because I think it justifies class through violence. I think it justifies, like, just the whole look at how it looks at society based on economic, socioeconomic table. Is not the way I would answer the question. And I don't necessarily think Todd Phillips thinks that's the answer either, but I just think it's dumb, you know? Like, I don't know how else to answer that question. I don't think Todd Phillips knew how to answer that question either. Like, I can't think of a way to bring up the socioeconomic gap in Gotham City.
Yeah.
Other than through, like, what happened in the movie. But, so...
Super rats.
But, like, I don't think the question should be posed if you don't have an answer to the question. In this specific case.
I think you
can leave it open, but I don't think you can try to answer it and answer it poorly. Or answer it in a way that isn't realistic or isn't...
Well, I don't think you're supposed to side with the character. I think the point is he's wrong.
Okay. I think the point
of the movie is very much he's wrong. Joker's doing is wrong.
Okay.
But I can see how people don't get that.
I don't think people get that. I don't think society as a whole, I don't think the $93 million.
That's why it reminds me a lot of Taxi Driver. Is like, you're supposed to be on board with him and you're supposed to realize by the end what he's doing is wrong.
Okay.
That's why I think the big influence is Taxi Driver here is because he went, okay, we're going to make you sympathize and then we're going to make you say this character is wrong.
I never felt that. That
I don't
discouragement.
Think it's as good as a filmmaker, Scorsese. But.
Oh, sure. I don't think I ever felt that discouragement of you're not supposed to put yourself in the shoes of this character. I felt like Todd Phillips is trying to say...
You don't think that violent, when he stabs the guy in the fork and smashes him in the wall, is very much supposed to be like, oh.
Not really.
Like, not a good guy.
Because it felt like a scene out of You Were Never Really Here.
Actually, that's true. Because exactly what I thought.
It was a bad guy that did something.
He wasn't really that bad, though. But, he gave the dude the gun.
But in the view of the character, he was.
Yes, but I think there's an important distinction between the view of the character and the view of the movie. I don't think the view of the movie is necessarily this guy's a bad guy.
In the case of that one specific example, like, you can see why he killed him, but you're not going to go do that yourself. You're not going to say, oh, well, he ratted me out to the police and said that I had a...
Well, some people might. And this movie could be dangerous to those people that are going to do that, but I think a lot of movies can be.
But I don't think you should cater to that small percentage of people.
Sure.
No, because most people have the wherewithal to realize.
Yeah.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I don't know. I just never felt that discouragement.
Yeah.
I felt that the movie was the character.
Is there any discouragement?
Because it is so very perspective.
Right? Yeah.
Is there any discouragement in movies that have done this type of character study before?
No. Like Nightcrawler, no.
Yeah. I don't
Nightcrawler's the same way. So that's a movie that's super perspective, that he does these bad things. But I'm not on board for the.
I would say even kind of. Well, not really. Okay.
I think it's a look very similar, actually. I think that was a good point.
That's fair. Okay. I see what you're saying there.
Yeah.
I don't know. This movie just grossed me out.
Yeah.
It really did.
I think it did a good job then.
I think it's definitely
and
a
Todd Phillips would say
grimy.
That I was trying to gross you out.
Yeah. Look around.
I think
he
would say that.
That's kind of cool that it has that effect, but I'm just like, I just saw a movie, that's all, and I didn't really, I'm just like, okay.
This is definitely a disturbing, like, dark, nihilistic movie in a lot of ways. But I think that's kind of the point, because it's a disturbing, nihilistic, dark character.
Love when he kicks the trash bag, kicking the trash bag, I was like, I can see Joker doing that. There's so many little parts where I'm just like, man, okay, this is really cool that you caught this.
On.
Yeah,
fight on the subway. I'm like, that's Joker.
What? When he was dancing,
that's how he gets away from.
And then the gun flew out of his thing when he was in a children's thing, and he picked it up, and he's like, "Shh."
That's the best part of the whole movie.
That was so good.
That might be my favorite.
Like, okay, stuff like that. That is inherently like that is Joker brand. That's on brand. I'm like, that's like perfect. I don't get like you can write him in so many ways, and I'm like. There's like at least 100 ways to write the Joker, and he at least got like it's at like an 82. Like he got like certain parts down. Like there's certain jokes that he even makes. Like I'm just like, what? You don't say that. And then if when he turns into the Joker, if this was the Joker who's getting led down that path, and he's like fully accepted that. This is his last day because that's kind of that's his whole thing. When he goes into the talk show, he's like this. He's like, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die after this. The Joker is constantly in a thought process of this is my last day on Earth, and that's why he has so much powers because he's ready to go. Like,
well, I never thought that this Joker was like Joker in the comics has always been like intelligent, and I never saw. Joaquin Phoenix's Joker as intelligent.
Yeah, so, I couldn't see this Joker fighting Batman.
That's how.
And yeah, that makes me want to bring up the point that this could be what Todd Phillips also said in an interview.
What?
This could be inspiration for another Joker.
I know. Okay. But
and I've never really liked that. Like the show Gotham did that, and like if there's an inspiration. Then it makes you think that everyone's Joker.
Yeah.
That's just Into the Spider-Verse.
Now we're
Into
the Joker-verse.
Yeah. It's just another question that it's going to lead you into.
I'll even
I would rather him be the Joker.
So I want to comment on the intelligence thing.
I wanted to too. Okay, go ahead.
This is the dumbest Joker that we've ever seen, for sure.
Hey, okay.
But I think he gets much more intelligent as the movie goes on.
And here's the thing.
By the end, he's still not... firing, but he's firing in a Joker way. Like, like he's smart enough to make it seem like he's just thought of this thing and he's gonna do it.
It's kind of based off of pure like it's a personal story, so that's there's a drive to what he's doing. But I'm saying if there was a situation where like I imagine like even like his if there were like cronies or like he had other goons that broke him out, they would be worshiping him. And I feel like the way that he would, like, assume his power is not to act like he has that power, but just to kind of just be the presence of what he is. Like, he wants, if he was wholeheartedly what he is, it's not that the intelligence is going to come. It's just more so that there's a sense of unpredictability. And that's the thing that he's got with the Joker. There's a sense of unpredictability with this particular iteration. Like, you really kind of don't know what you're going to get. Because he's, and also, you also see another one of his superpowers. And it's kind of interesting because the trickster character, this trickster in particular is gifted with unluckiness, but lucky. He's lucky, but unlucky. He's unlucky in life.
Like, it just kind of works out.
Yeah. Like, the way he snuck into the theater, the way that he was able to, getting opportunities.
He's like Domino, like Zazie Beetz.
Or a challenge. Is it bad writing?
Yeah, maybe it's a mixture of those things. No. But regardless, they made it seem like the Joker, he would literally just do that. He would just walk into that.
That's fair, because I don't know enough about the character.
It is definitely convenient writing, and I think the script isn't that good, but I think it's done in a good way. Like, I can tell that the script writer is the director. Because he had a vision when he was writing it. He knew how he was going to play those moments. I think this is a much worse read.
At the very least, Todd Phillips had a vision, and I appreciate that.
So where does this Joker rank? Of the four major Jokers, where does this one rank? Cut out Cesar Romero, cut out Mark Hamill. Because I haven't
cut out Mark Hamill.
Cut out Mark Hamill. I'm sorry.
No, he's number one.
He does matter.
Okay.
Mark Hamill says he does matter.
So Zach Galifianakis is one.
Okay, so honestly, I
Tommy Wiseau.
Yes. Hi, guys. Okay, so for me, this Joker is, like, probably my number... I do like the Jack Nicholson Joker, and I do like Heath Ledger. I think Heath Ledger is going to be number one. And then Jack Nicholson is definitely after that. But, like, Mark Hamill is number three. So this is probably my number four. It's just... They did certain things that I haven't seen another Joker do. But it was kind of like a mishmash of the best parts of all the other Jokers. I don't know how to explain that.
The thing is, Mark Hamill is the definitive Joker for me because you can put him in any Batman story. And he has been put in every Batman story because he's in the game, he's in the show, the animated series.
Very true.
He's in
Yeah. Like, is it technically the same character, or does he?
They'll write him a little bit, like in the game,
he turns into a giant, like, spy monster.
You don't have to say that. The game just does things a little bit darker because it's not an animated cartoon, so he's allowed to kind of do things where he shoots people in the head. So if I had to pick one version of Hamill, he plays it the same way. Yeah,
right. The characters are written differently sometimes.
Okay. But that Joker is like.
I say Ledger. Nicholson.
Yeah.
Leto.
I forgot!
No, Jared Leto's the worst. Poor Jared Leto.
I know. That's not even his fault. I'm so sorry for Jared. Like,
Jared. I'm sorry,
poor Jared. Poor Leto. Okay, it's okay. But no, what was your thing? You said...
I think Heath Ledger's Joker is one of the best written... Like, I don't even care about comic book movies, but, like, that's good. Yeah. That's some good stuff, boys and girls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I appreciate the cartoonishness of Jack Nicholson's Joker. Yeah. I really like the way that character is played and written also.
Mm-hmm.
I think had this character been written better, Joaquin Phoenix's, I think I would have liked it maybe more.
I can see where you're
at. I think the script just works against the character so hard, mm-hmm. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. I agree.
And Jared Leto's just bad.
I have a weird... it's weird to write this, because... For most of this movie, the Joker, Joaquin Phoenix isn't the Joker.
Yeah.
It's not till the end. He's like Arthur Fleck.
Yeah.
Which I think is different. So, like, if I'm ranking just his performance, not in the movie, but as the Joker, I think Heath is one, and then Mark Hamill, and I think he might be right behind Mark Hamill. He might even take over Mark Hamill. I liked him.
You did? Okay, good.
Jack Nicholson is fine. I don't like those cartoony movies.
I feel you. But I really don't fault you for putting him as number two because this is such a...
Mark Hamill at two.
But he's a little fresh. Like, this is a fresh take, and I kind of like it. You said you're definitive.
I think Joker 2 will be worse than Joker 1.
I hope they don't.
I don't think they'll find a way to
figure it out.
I really don't think.
I can see this.
Because they have
no
interest in doing Batman.
Yeah.
They have no interest in doing like a comic book.
They can just have him like.
I would much rather have more of these types of films where they're made for $55 million because they can make more of them because they're all make money.
It's getting ready to get oversaturated though, probably.
It's on its way out, boys and girls. This is the revisionist Western.
Yeah, Westerners. All right. Well, that was pretty much it, everybody.
No Under the Silver League.
Yeah, we're gonna talk for real, I wanted to talk about these French movies, but we'll do it, I guess we'll do it next week. I want y'all
to watch. Did we talk this whole time about the Joker?
Yeah,
somehow,
of course.
God. Judy.
Miss J. No! Okay, alright, thank you guys for coming through. Big Body Bennett, you did an amazing job. Thomas.
Thanks, man. I thought Judy was.
I hate you so much.
It's supposed to cut me off again.
Judy is greater than Joker.
Oh! Okay, Thomas, you did an amazing job, producer. Thank you for coming through and talking about your perspective on the Joker. And Riley.
Renee Zellweger, let me tell you.
Did you like that?
What the fuck?